You'd like to turn back with me in your Bibles to John chapter 19. We're looking this morning at the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ before he commended his spirit unto the Father. In verse 30, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Have you ever thought about what your last words may be? We're all going to speak them one of these days. Our last words in this world. I think about David. The scripture says, this be the last words of David, King David. Though my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, this is all my salvation. I think about Paul, though we're not told these were his last words, but he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give unto me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love the appearing of Jesus Christ. But there's no words of any man, and I've read over the years many of the last words of the martyrs when they were tied to the stake and the fire was being lighted that would burn their bodies to death, their last words. And many of them are so moving, so inspiring. But there's no words like these, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is finished. Not only have I thought this past week about what might be my last words, but I've thought about what it must have meant to the Lord Jesus Christ to say these words, it is finished. What it must have meant to him to be able to say these words in truth, knowing that he had finished, completed everything that he came into this world to do. But then one of the main thoughts I had, and this is the topic or the subject of the message this morning, the Lord always finishes what he begins. That's my main thought. The Lord always, always finishes what he begins. I have four divisions to the message. First, I thought of the contrast between the Lord and men in this matter. Men begin many things which they do not finish, but the Lord always finishes what he begins. And I thought of several reasons. There's many, but let me just give us these four reasons as to why men sometimes start something, but they don't finish it. First, lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge may cause men to not finish what they began. He begins something that makes a lot of sense to him. His plans are made, and in his mind or on paper, they look so well, they look so good, but as he begins to build, he realizes, I was mistaken. And I thought about the Panama Canal. That was a big project, wasn't it? The French had built the Suez Canal, if my memory serves me right. And they had been successful in building that canal, which has served for so many years. And so they got the right to build the Panama Canal. But they realized after they started building that their plans were not going to work. What they had thought, and I assume it must have been somewhat like the Suez Canal, it would not work in joining the two oceans, the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean. So they had to quit. They had to give up. And that's how our country came on the scene and was able, by changing the plans, to accomplish that great work. But it was lack of knowledge. It was lack of knowledge on their part. They couldn't finish what they began. But that can never be true of the Lord, who has all knowledge. In fact, the scripture says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. God never learns anything. And when he asks a question, as he does sometimes of men, it's never for information. It's never for information. When God asked a question, he asked men questions so men might think and consider their ways. Like when he asked Adam, Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. Adam, do you realize where you are? Now estranged from your Maker, hiding from God. Another reason that comes to my mind, lack of funds may cause a man not to finish what he begins. But that can never be true of the Lord, who owns all things. He is the creator of all things. And I thought about what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians. In encouraging you and I, all believers, to prayer, encouraging us to pray, he said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, now listen, above all that we ask or think. He's able to do above. As great as our requests may be, God's able to do more. All the cattle on 1,000 hills, they're all his. All the silver and the gold in this world, they're all his, because this world is his. He created it. He rules it. It's his world and everything in it. Men sometimes start a project and they run out of money. They can't finish what they start. That will never and is never true of the Lord. And then I thought about, third, lack of power may cause a man not to finish what he begins. He may find out the project's just too big for him. He doesn't have the power to finish it. But that can never be true of the Lord, who is all powerful. Remember, he asked this question to a woman who was 90 years of age. None of us in here are that old. She was 90 years old, and she had heard the Lord tell her husband about this time next year, your wife is going to bring forth a son. And she laughed. She was behind the curtain door. She overheard the conversation, the word, and she laughed in unbelief. And the angel of the Lord asked her this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And you know the answer. Absolutely not. So it cannot be lack of power. We may begin something and not able to finish it because we just don't have the power to do it. And then fourthly, opposition may cause a man not to finish what he begins. Others may oppose the person, and he just has to shut it down. He starts something, and others oppose him in his work, and he just has to give up. He just has to shut the job down. But that can never be true of the Lord, whose purpose cannot be shut down by anyone. And God works all things according to his purpose. Both in the prophecy of Isaiah and the prophecy of Jeremiah, the Lord declares this. In Isaiah, he said, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And in Jeremiah, I have spoken it. I have purposed it and will not repent. I will not change my mind, in other words. Neither will I turn back from it. And I know there's many other reasons, many other things we could name this morning, but none of them can be true of the Lord. None of them. The Lord always finishes what he begins. And as I was thinking about this, I thought about some examples I might give us this morning, and examples from the Old Testament. Go back with me to Genesis, the first book in the Bible and the first chapter in the book. God always finishes what he begins. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, he began the work of creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. He began his work of creation, and he finished his work of creation. No one could hinder him. No one could stop him. He purposed to create, and he created all things. You look down to the last verse of Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw, on the sixth day, he finished his work of creation. God could have created everything in the first second of the first day, but he chose to create a loaf over 6 days. He started the work on the first day, and nothing could hinder him, nothing could stop him. And on the sixth day, he had finished his work, and God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. The Lord always finishes what he begins. Look in chapter 6 of Genesis. Chapter 6, verse 13, we read, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's his purpose declared. He would destroy all flesh, all living creatures outside the ark. And so he begins that work. Look in chapter 7. And I know I'm not telling you anything that you do not know, but I'm reminding us, and I'm showing us by examples in the Word of God, that God always finishes everything he begins. In chapter 7, now he said that in chapter 6, that he would, the end of all flesh had come. In chapter 7, verse 16, and they that went in, that is the animals, went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him, that is Noah, shut him, his three sons, and their wives in the ark. Now notice, it began to rain. It began to rain. When he went into the ark, it rained 40 days. God had begun his work, the work of destruction. And they are being destroyed because of their sinfulness, because of their wickedness, because of man's evil. Look down further in that chapter, verse 23, and every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. The Lord finished what he began. He began the destruction of all flesh because of man's evil. And he finished that work. Look with me in the next book, Exodus chapter 3. This will be the last example I'll give us from the Old Testament, but in Exodus chapter 3, we've all heard of Moses at the burning bush, the bush that burned but was not consumed. The Lord appeared unto him. Chapter 3 of Exodus, verses 7 and 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. God said, I've come down to deliver them. Well, looking over in Exodus chapter 12. And this is after 10 miracles. We all know the story of God delivering Israel out of Egypt after 10 miracles. And listen, after the death of the firstborn in every house where the blood was not sprinkled upon the doorpost. After all of that, the destruction of Egypt. Chapter 12 and verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that was 430 years from the time that God told Abraham what was going to take place. Several generations, the generation of Isaac, the generation of Jacob and his sons, and all of that had transpired. God had begun his work. He came down to deliver his people. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all, not one was left behind. Not one was left behind. Aren't you thankful that when the Lord came to save his people, and he did, that's the reason he came into this world, there's not one who will be left behind. There's not one who's not going to be taken into glory with him. What a number of examples we could go on giving it through the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, which show us the Lord always finishing what he begins. But thirdly, I thought about the consolation that these three words that the Lord spoke gives to guilty sinners. It is finished. Now, he spoke these words in anticipation of his death, which he would accomplish, because our text tells us he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He spoke those words, it is finished, in anticipation of his death. He had said the same thing the night before when he prayed and said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work, speaking to his Father. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What comfort. Dear child of God, hear this warning. What comfort, what consolation comes to you and I through these words, it is finished. And there are two thoughts. First, Christ making an end of sin was finished. Let me say that again. Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke these words from the cross, his making an end of sin, it is finished. It is finished. You know, in the Greek, we see there's three words here. It is finished. But in the Greek, there's only one word. And it's spelled in English, T-E-L-E-O. And I would pronounce that teleo, teleo. But it's translated various ways in the New Testament. And I want to give us a few examples. This same word, which is here translated, it is finished, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 1, we read, and it came to pass when Jesus, teleo, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. In Matthew 17:24, this word is translated, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master teleo? Does not your master pay tribute? And in Luke chapter 2 and verse 39, and when they, that is Mary, the mother of Christ, and her husband Joseph, when they had teleo, when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee. And one other in Luke chapter 18 and verse 13, all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son shall be teleo, shall be accomplished. Now listen, as I substitute these translations, for it is finished. He cried, it is made an end of. He cried, it is paid. He cried, it is performed. He cried, it is accomplished. One writer put this all together like this. What was made an end of? Our sins and guilt. Our sins and our guilt. Christ made an end. It is finished. He made an end of the sins and guilt of his people. In fact, there's a scripture in Isaiah, I believe it is, that tells us that when search shall be made for the sins of God's people, they will not be found. Why? Because he made an end of sins. What was performed? Or what was paid, rather? The price of our redemption. What was performed? The utmost requirements of the law. What was accomplished? The making an atonement. He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. He is the propitiation that God required to put away the sins of all his people. A second thing that is meant when he said it is finished, not only making an end of sin, but Christ fulfilling the law was finished. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. The law of God is like its author. It's holy. He's holy. It's just. He's just. It's good. He's good. I'm not come to destroy the law, he said, or the prophets, but to fulfill. The law required absolute, perfect obedience. Every thought, every word, and every deed. That's what the law required. Every thought that you have, every word that you speak, every deed that you ever do, must be perfect, and it must spring from a perfect motive, that is, love to God. All of us, we've all broken God's law. That's obvious, isn't it? We don't have to labor that point. We've all broken God's law. Hundreds, yea, thousands of times. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said, "It is finished," he, as a man, had obeyed God's law perfectly, in thought, in word, and deed, loving God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind, and loving his neighbor as himself. It's finished. He did that for his people. And remember, the scripture teaches us that God's people, we are in union with him. We know this, it's a mystical union. I understand that. He's the head. What my head does, my feet do. Right? They're not separated. And in Christ, we fulfill the law perfectly. Absolutely. In thought, in word, and in deed. It's finished. Now, my fourth thought, what assurance this truth gives to every child of God. Look with me in Philippians, this last place, Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was able to write this, inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you. What did I say? God, the Lord always finishes what he begins. He always finishes what he begins. Nothing can hinder him. Nothing can stay his hand. No one can say, "What doest thou?" Because he is the Lord. And the Lord always finishes what he begins. And Paul says, being confident. And you and I, we receive confidence from this truth, from this word of Christ when he said, "It is finished," being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will. He's not going to quit. He's not going to be defeated in his purpose. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord always finishes what he begins. You might say, "Well, I know that's true, preacher, but many times I have doubts. Many times it seems like if I have faith, it's so feeble." Don't look at your faith. Look at his faithfulness. He always finishes what he begins. He's not going to give up. He's not going to throw up his hands and say, "I quit." Whatever he's begun, wherever he's begun a good work and in your heart, he's going to finish that work. And as we go through this world, I know we're all the same. We have our ups and we have our downs. We have our doubts and we have our fears. We have our questions. It's only natural that we do so because our faith is not perfect. Our love is not perfect. We're still in this body that has an old nature. And we'll only leave that old nature when we leave this world, not before. And as long as we have that old nature, we're going to have troubles, doubts, and fears. But remember this, the Lord always finishes what he begins. Many times we question our love for Christ, but you know that verse in 1 John says, perfect love casteth out fear. Someone says, "Well, I'm not sure I have love because I still have fears." Did you hear what he said? Perfect love. Perfect love casteth out fear. None of us have perfect love. Only Christ had perfect love. He always finishes what he begins. And I'd close this morning with Solomon's words. He wrote this in Ecclesiastes. He said, I know that, and you and I, we know this. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Amen. Nothing, nada, nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That fear is that, not that slavish fear, but that reverential fear, that phileo fear that every child of God has. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you have this fear, God has given it to you. He's begun a good work in you. And he always finishes what he begins. May the Lord bless this word to us here this morning. We're going to